Romans chapter 5, let's start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, guide my thoughts, guide my words this morning. Help me to say exactly what you would have me to say. And as we just try to put a visual, just an application, a thought to what you've done for us, and Lord, I pray it would make sense. And Lord, as we draw a conclusion later in our own lives, I pray that we would all practice this and be better. Lord, I know I need to be better at this. And Father, guide everything this morning. I do pray for each Sunday school class as their meaning. Lord, I do pray that the spirit of the young people would be attentive, it would be quiet, that they would listen. And Lord, I do pray for just our church family that are hurting. And there's several, not just Chloe, but there's several, Lord, that just need a special touch from you. But Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Help pastors. He's away. And Lord, I pray that you would just meet his needs. Lord, I know he wasn't feeling well either, and I pray that you would help him with that. God, guide us and direct us today. I pray that you be honored in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I'm going to talk about, this is going to kind of sound weird for you, but I'm going to talk about this thought, is love putty. Love putty. And you're like, "Brother Chad, what in the world are you talking about?" All right, well, hang on. Hold on, I'll get there. Mrs. Walton knows, because I taught this recently in chapel. This is kind of a neat truth. And I got thinking about this, and any of you that have done drywall, honestly, you look around this room, most of you have an idea, have a concept of perhaps drywall. These are not, you know, if you strip this room down to bare bones, and you had just had wood studs, then they go and they put gypsum board, drywall, sheetrock, whatever you want to call it. They put it on the walls, but it's not smooth like you see right now, okay? There's seams, there's screw holes, there's imperfections, if you would, in these walls. But you don't see that right now, because at some point, somebody went through and they took some mud or some putty, and they've smoothed those out. They've coated them. They've covered them. And they made it smooth so you can't see it right now. Every 16 inches all through here on the walls, there will be a line of screws, or actually these are nailed on, but there's a line of nails every 16 inches, okay? Well, you don't see that right now. You just see walls, okay? In the ceiling, these are on 24-inch centers, so every 24 inches, there is a row of nails. Well, you don't see those nails. They've been covered, okay? They've been hidden, if you would. And so we see a finished product, and we're glad for the finished product. You know, we would, you know, if somebody came to your house and you were getting some work done, and you know they put the drywall on, and then they screwed it, and they said, "All right, you're done. You know, you're finished." Well, you wouldn't be very happy with that, because that's not the finished product. Okay, it would be, you know, they say, "All right, is this okay?" No. What would you do? You'd reject it. Say, I don't want that, because it's not a finished product. It's not, you know, there's blemishes, if you would, you know, there's seams. And so you say, I don't want that. That's not what I hired you to come do. Okay. And I've done some. I hate to do drywall. I despise drywall. But sometimes you just have to do it. I did my whole house when I did the drywall. I finished my house, and there's several men in here that you finished drywall. And I brought an illustration this morning. This is not drywall, obviously. This is just a piece of trim. This is brick mold. But I drew, before I came in here, I drilled some holes in it with screws, okay? And I left one in. And you know, salvation, when we get saved, you know, if you would, think of this as, you know, your life, our heart, if you would. And when we sin, it puts black, nasty imperfections, okay? Well, just in the way that you wouldn't accept a job that is still not complete and not finished, you know, when God looks at each one of our hearts, He looks at, okay, is there sin still here? Okay, and that's everyone can agree with me, that's, for the wages of sin is death, okay? We just read in Romans chapter 5, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So we have these sins, right? And so it's not what we would want to see, okay? So when we get saved, God takes that, you know, the Bible, you know, talks about washing away our sins, and we have these sins that are taken away. And Jesus Christ, when He died, He nailed those sins to the cross. The Bible teaches us that. And He took those sins, and the death that we owed because of our sin, we no longer have to pay, because Jesus Christ paid that for us. Okay? So I took most of the screws out. Right? If you see here, there's a hole right here. There's a hole. It's an imperfection. There's a hole right here. This one I still left a screw in just so you could see it. And then there's a hole right here, okay? Now, on a smooth surface, you don't want holes, okay? And in Romans chapter number 5, we read about this thing called justification. Justification. Now, I remember justification easily. An easy way for me to remember what does justification mean is I use it just as if I'd never sinned, okay? It's an easy way for me to remember it. And justification, just as if I'd never sinned. Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith." You know, each and every one of us, the Bible says, Romans chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through" what? Faith. Okay? It's faith. It's a thing you believe in without ever actually seeing it. That's what faith is. And so, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith." Okay, look down at verse number 9. "Much more than being now justified by His," what's that say? "Blood." Being justified by His blood. So not only are we justified by faith, I believe that's our part. Okay, we can go to Hebrews chapter 11. What was Abraham justified by? His faith. You know, it talks about his works and the things that he did, but ultimately, he was justified by faith. And that's the same way every one of us is justified. Now you say, Brother Chad, okay, we've been saved, all right? And if we would, I could take a screwdriver or a screw gun and I could take that screw out. But you know, the truth of the matter is, it still leaves what? Holes. And you know, folks, sin leaves scars. And I'm just going to, you know, we can go a long way down that road. And there's a lot of people in here. You say, Brother Chad, there's a lot of things in my past that I'm not proud of. Hey, and even as, you know, I grew up in church, it's not like I was, you know, I say deep sin. It wasn't like I was out, you know, I got saved when I was 5. I mean, there's only so much that you can do by the time you're 5, right? But I was still a sinner. There's no debating that, okay? It may have not left as big of a hole, but in God's eyes, there was still imperfections. And so in God's eyes, he says, I can't have that. I'm rejecting that. So it doesn't matter. Now, there are some, you say, Brother Chad, I wouldn't even want to share my past. I'm not proud of things I've done. And you know what? We're all still the same in the eyes of God. We're still sinners. Okay? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As is written, there's none right. Everyone knows these verses. There's none righteous, no, not one. Every one of us is a sinner. But there are things that we can do, folks, that it's going to leave a scar. It's going to leave a scar. And so to look at this, you say, yeah, okay, if we took this screw out, that's great. But I still see a problem here. Well, you know what justification is? And I'll show you this, that I believe that justification it really comes from love. Okay? And I'm giving you a kind of a theological truth, and then I'm going to give you a very practical truth to end with. Okay? I've got this stuff, and this is not what I normally use. When I'm doing trim work, I nail it with a nail gun, and then I go through and I fill with this. It's just a quick spackling stuff, especially when I'm doing woodwork. I can't, obviously, this would look, white would look a little odd on woodwork, but, you know, you use wood grain. But on this, I just take this putty, and actually, I as much as anything, I just use my hands, because this is not a real wet compound, but I just stick it in that hole, and I'll smooth it out. And you know what? Yeah, was there a problem with that to start with? Oops. Yeah, there was. There was a problem with it. But if I do this, I can eliminate it. I can eliminate it. Now, Brother Chad, was there still sin there? Yeah. But I can go over and I can make it where it disappears. So, you know, I think the blood of Jesus, when I sinned, yeah, God took that screw out and he forgave me of that. But not only that, he said, okay, I'm going to take my blood and I'm going to smooth it all over. Amen. Now when God looks at it, he doesn't see the holes. You know what he sees? Let's say this was the blood of Jesus Christ. Instead of seeing the hole and the sin, you know what he sees now? What does he see? The blood. And he doesn't see that hole. He doesn't see that scar. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. That, what does the Bible say? It washes away all of our sin. In another place, I think I have this written down. I may not have it, which one I have written down here. I don't have it written down specifically. But in another place, it talks about, in a couple different places, I may have it here. It talks about the blood of Jesus Christ blots out our transgressions. You know what blotting is? You know, you think about this. In the old times, they had an inkwell, right? Well, they didn't have erasers, folks. They didn't have whiteout. So you know what they would do if they made a mistake? They would take some more of that and they would blot it. So you couldn't see it. You couldn't see what it was. I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting. Though your sins be as, what does the Bible say? Scarlet. Though your sins be as scarlet. What's color scarlet? What color is blood? Though your sins be as scarlet. And then when Jesus said, I'll blot out your transgressions. If your sins were as scarlet, let's say they were written in scarlet. And Jesus said, I'm going to blot him out. What same color is that? It's red. Interesting. But you know what Jesus did for me? He said, all right, I forgive you of your sins. But not only that, I'm going to make it just as if you had never sinned. I'm going to wash it just so, I mean, when people see you, they don't need to know. Look, folks, they don't need to know your past. They need to know who you are because of what I've done for you. Okay? I want to show you this. I want you to chase this thought. With that thought in mind, I want you to take this. We're going to chase this through the Bible just a little bit. All right? Look down at verse number 16. You're in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to try to keep you there for just a second. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You know what? We've been given an abundance. Abundance of grace. Abundance. You know, you can have a pretty big imperfection in a wall. And you know what? It may take a little more mud to fill it up, but you can still make it where you can never even see it. Isn't that kind of a neat thought that God said, all right, I understand that you're a sinner, and I understand that you've done this, but I'm going to make it where when my Father looks at you, he doesn't see your sin, he just sees my blood. And I'm going to make it so he doesn't even see your sin. Okay? That's a neat thought. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I know this is important for salvation, but I'm going to bring this to a practical truth here in just a minute, too. Something that we can all practice. I mean, I hope everyone in here, you say, Brother Chad, I know most people in here, but you say, Brother Chad, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. What about, and here's the thing, you hear people say this, God could never save me. Well, I didn't show you, in Romans chapter 5, it talks about the abundance, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Brother Ali, when I put spackle on, you technically have to put it on actually heavier than what is actually almost necessary. You know, if you wanted to be technical, every time there's a seam in the wall, you don't see it, but there's actually a hump right there. Just a little, okay? Just minute. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 11. Or I start in verse number 9, I'm sorry. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's the truth. Okay, because of sin. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And you can say, well, Brother Chad, I'm not most of those things. Okay, well, I can agree with you. But then look at verse number 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Okay, yeah, I understand you have these things in your past, but I don't want you to dwell on that in the past. Look what Jesus Christ has done for you. Not only has he washed you, he's sanctified, which I believe means to cleanse for a specific purpose, and then he's justified you, okay? And it's not just the fact that God took away your sins. He gave you his righteousness to replace that sin. Okay? That's what he did. He gave us his righteousness to replace that. Go to Ephesians or 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. Try to get you in order here. They're not written down in order, but I'm going to try to get you there in order. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look at verse 14. Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What does that impute mean? It basically means to set on their account, okay? To put on their account. And this whole passage I just read to you, what is the first, let's see, go back to verse 14. The Bible says, for the, what's the next three words? Love of Christ. You know why God did this? Okay, you know why God said, okay, yeah, you had some sin, but I'm gonna wash that away. I'm gonna take it out, and I'm gonna give you my righteousness. Where when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. He doesn't even see the scar. He sees my blood and the righteousness that came. That's what he sees. Okay, that's what we've been given as Christians. We've been given this righteousness, and we see here that God said, "I'm not gonna impute their trespasses." What's trespass? Going someplace you shouldn't. Okay, when you're trespassing, if you're out hunting and it says no trespassing and you go past that, you are trespassing. Okay? They're trespasses. Go to Galatians chapter number 2. Verse number 16. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Listen, folks, you can't do this in and of yourself. That washing away your sins, you can't do it. And I can't do it, okay? And we can't even make ourselves clean before God. What does the Bible say about our righteousness is in the eyes of God as what? Filthy rags. I can't in and of myself go to God and say, all right, God, you know, I'm trying to do good. I've given up the old man. I've given up the old ways. Well, that's good. I'm glad, and we all should. Because the Bible goes on to say, do we frustrate the grace of God? And what is it, the verses previous to that talks about, okay, yeah, you're saved, you get all this washed away, but then you keep drilling holes in it? That's frustrating the grace of God, okay? Now, I know God's grace, he can still come, and he I'm not saying you have to get saved again, okay? I don't believe that. I believe that once you're saved, once you become a child of God, you're always a child of God, okay? I was born to my dad, and it doesn't matter what I do, I'm his son. I can change my name, but it doesn't change the fact I'm his son. I could kill somebody, and he wouldn't be happy, but it doesn't change the fact I'm his son. Okay, once you become a son of God, you're always. But, you know, why do we frustrate the grace of God? Okay? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just showing you some places here. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse number 1, Bible says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. We can go down, we go to Ephesians chapter 2, a few verses later, 8 and 9. Talks about by grace are you saved through faith. What did Jesus Christ do? He quickened us. That means to bring back to life. Okay? Quickened. We were dead. We're full of holes. He said, I'm going to patch it all up. I'm going to make it so not only is your sin forgiven, but now God sees you as if you had never sinned. It's a wall. It's not pieces with holes through it. Now it's a wall. Okay? That's what Jesus Christ did for me. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 13. Sorry. 13. Here's the verse I was talking about. Or not. I'll get to it. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And I want you to put that in the back of your mind. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse number 14. Here's what I was talking about earlier. Blotting out. Now this is talking about the law. Okay. But I still believe he did this for our sins. There's other passages that he talks about that. Blotting it out. All right. You say, Brother Chad, you talked about how this is an applicable truth. And I understand that what you were talking about as far as God forgiving us of our sins and God taking away our sins and then filling those holes, okay? And listen, folks, I heard this, I read it someplace. You know, God forgives, but people don't. And that's true. And sometimes what we do as people, our human nature, and I've hit this several times recently, and I don't know why I keep coming back to this, but we, I think it's because of our insecurity, our human nature. We like to be better than everyone else. And because of that, a lot of times we come and we see something that we know. Yeah, Jesus Christ washed away that sin and he filled that and he made that so it's gone. You know, it's smoothed over and we can take all these things and we can smooth all these over. But you know what man does? This is what we do. Well, I know that God forgave them. I know what God forgave him. I don't know what I did with my pocket knife. That's not good. I got a key. I don't know what. I know God forgave them. But you know what we do? We go in and.
Yes, sir.
And we make it bigger. We make more of a problem than what God even saw it as. Okay? Now, listen. I'm okay with fixing. You know, if a kid does something and knocks a hole in the wall, I'm okay with going and fixing it. But when a kid knocks a hole in the wall and then goes over to it and starts ripping the wall apart, that's a problem. Does that make sense? I think God has more patience for the person that, God, I'm sorry, than the one then that comes by and says, here, why'd you do that? That was stupid. Okay, and starts digging it out bigger. Why does, you know, when God, who had every right to send every one of us to hell, can forgive something. Remember the story in the Bible where the man, and I should have written the reference down, it just came to my mind, but the man, he owed a lot of money to this individual. And so this individual said, all right, I'm going to send you and your family to basically the debtors, and you're going to serve and you're going to slave. And he came and said, oh, would you please forgive me? I'll try to make it, you know. And the Lord said, I forgive you. And then that same man went to another person that had trespassed against him. And he did the same thing to him and he wouldn't forgive him. You know what? That's human nature. God's done everything for me, and it's wrong for me not to forgive someone their trespasses, okay? I want to show you some verses, because here's the thing. We do this. I had a couple of references. Think about Psalms 51. God forgave. We can go to Psalms. Let's go there. Psalms 51. I will misquote it if I just try to quote it. I think it's verse 1. Look at verse number 1. Bible says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Look down at verse 9. "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities." Okay, God, we understand we can go to God and we can ask forgiveness, but when we go to each other and we ask forgiveness, it's like, yeah, I forgive you, but listen, and it's easy to do. And you know what? I think sometimes I'm gonna say the reverse side of this. You know, when we get saved, you know what repentance is? It's a turning. That's what repentance means. It means you turn and you go the other way. If somebody comes and says, "I'm repenting, you know, would you please forgive me? I'm sorry," and then they go out and do it again, that's not true repentance. Does that make sense? So I understand there's a line that, "Well, bro, Chad, you don't understand. I've just been burnt so many times." Okay. And probably you're rightfully so because they've done it repeatedly. Okay. But at some point, Jesus washed it away and he doesn't even know it's there anymore. Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to wrap this up with the application, the applicable application. Matthew chapter number 6. I may have written this reference down and I didn't even know it. Matthew chapter 6. This is an interesting verse. Matthew 6 verse 14. The Bible says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Go over to Luke. Go over to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Verse number 3. Luke 17:3. Bible says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt," what? Forgive him. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to do a Proverbs marathon here. That's just 2 verses. Okay. Sorry, I had several here, but it's not all Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse number 12. Proverbs 10:12. The Bible says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but what? Love covereth all sins." You know what God did for me? He said, I love Chad enough that I'm going to cover all this. I'm going to cover it all. You know, wouldn't that be nice is that the family of God, we could say, hey, you've trust. You know, there's a trespass. And I'm not even saying it's a trespass against you as an individual. Okay? It's just a trespass. And wouldn't it be nice if we could say, you know what? Don't worry about it. You know what does that for us? Love. When we really love someone the way that God loves them. And that's hard. That's hard to do. Can you imagine the way God loves you and me when my sins put Jesus through everything that he went through? You talk about a trespass. That's a trespass. Okay? And still for God to say, I love you enough that I'm going to cover all those. Go to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter number 17. Look at verse number 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh what? Love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. It's interesting, Proverbs gives you, I don't know, there's a word for it. Contrast, there's another word, a simul. I think it's a simul, something like that. But basically it gives you a part of, it gives you a situation here and then gives you, like Mrs. Liffick said, a contrast, okay, contrasting thought. The Bible says, he that seeketh, or he that covereth transgression seeketh love. That's one side. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You know what? When you know something has happened, couldn't we just keep our mouths shut? Because you know what that does? It's not helping that person. That's not love. You know what love does? It says, I'm covering that up. And I'm not saying if there's a problem, you know, I tell our teen, there's a two-edged sword with teens, okay? There's the side that says, you know, well, I'm just their friend, so I'm not going to rat on them. No, if they're in trouble, they need a good friend. What does the Bible say? The kisses of an enemy are deceitful, okay? And a good friend will bring something to authority's attention. Why? So that it can be fixed. But I'm not talking about bringing up someone's past. If I would know something about someone, why would in the world would I share it with somebody else? You know why? Because my flesh says, hey, you want to know some good information? Why? Because we want to put ourselves here, and by doing that, we can put people here. Okay? I don't care about people's past as long as they've got it under the blood. Does Jesus? Don't think so. But we hold these things over people's head and we at times we even dig it out and make it worse. That's not what Christ would do. Young people that have left and have gone out and they're not serving God. I'm not happy about that. And wouldn't it be better than instead of saying, well, they're just, you know, bless God. What if we loved them? Wonder what would happen if you loved people the way they were. And we could have people that, yeah, we've all got. Listen, folks, we're all sinners saved by grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 7, talks about charity. You know what it says? It says it beareth all things, it believeth all things, hopeth all things. You know what that those three things, and it's interesting they're in that order. Beareth all things. You know, sometimes you have to bear a transgression. You have to bear something. It's not comfortable, but you got to bear it. You believe in them. I believe that, okay, yeah, they've messed up. I still believe that, listen, they can still do something for God. They're not past. I'm glad that God bore my sins. I'm glad that God believed in me. And then there's sometimes you just hope for the best. I don't know if they're ever going to turn out. I still hope they do. You know what? You can check my phone. Last 2 weeks, you can check my phone. I've still got a lot of people's phone numbers. You know what I do periodically? You send a text to someone and say, hey, hope you have a good day, praying for you. Just want you to know we love you. What's wrong with that? What's wrong versus, hey, did you see so-and-so this week in town? Yeah. Let's get behind people. Jesus did it for me. All right?
Yes, sir.
Why can't we just say, all right, let's smooth it over. God can still use you. God can still use you. No matter how full of holes, you know, you'd be surprised if you knew, if we put, you know, and you nobody would want to, but if we put everyone's life, if we put my life up on a billboard up here, on a projector, things I've thought, things I've done, the things I've said, I'm not proud. I'd be so ashamed. I'm not proud of it. But listen, God, we don't have to do that because God's washed it all away. So why can't we do that for each other? All right? That love. The love. It's like a putty. It just makes it all go away. These walls are not, well, I mean, if you look real hard, you probably still find stuff, but they're not what they looked like when they were first put in. All right? Let's do that for each other. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Pray that you'd help us today. Pray that you'd help the services to follow. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the way you've just washed away our sins. And God, you've put things in my past. I'm glad are in my past. Lord, help me not to bring up the past. Lord, it's been washed away. It's been sanctified. It's been justified. Lord, when God sees me, he sees me not like I was, but he sees me with your righteousness on top. And God, I thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. And God, give us the patience. Give us the grace to help each other. And Lord, it's easy. It's easy to do. But God, help us to forgive each other their other trespasses. Lord, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.